Welcome. Good to have you all with us here, and glad you could stay tuned with us here. We are going to shift gears. It's a very tough thing sometimes to shift gears too, but given what we were just talking about, but this all is really related because we're going to talk now with several women, Guyanese women, who did an incredible project in Nuevo Luz, a photographic journal. Grace Aniza Ali is founder and editorial director of Note, one of the first online magazines focused on global artists using the arts as a catalyst for activism and social change. She's adjunct professor of literature at the City University of New York, a World Economic Forum global shaper, a Fulbright scholar, and currently hosts the Visually Speaking series at the Schomburg Center in New York City, which examines the state of photojournalism. Two of the women in this piece were Keisha Scarville, photographer and educator, and Miriam Rosés, who is editor of Nueva Luz Journal, curator, editor, photographer, and director for Enfoco, a nonprofit that supports U.S.-based photographers of Latino, African, Asian, Native American heritage. And everyone, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
So is everybody, is Grace here as well?
Yes.
Oh, Grace, good. You're on the show.
Yes.
I do apologize. We had to deal with the question of the kind of police murders in our community, and that went over a little bit, but that's why I apologize for making you all wait. But, Grace, let's talk about this project from the start. I was fascinated by what I was reading and the photographs here, and I want to just – if you could just begin by telling us what pushed this article and this series in the first place, a Guyan worldview, a Guyana worldview, with all these photographers?
Well, it's simple, really. And when the issue came out, it really proved why we did it and why we needed to do it in the first place, is that these are only four women. There are so many more Guyanese women photographers out there, but their work and who they are is still relatively largely unknown. And it was really a beautiful marriage between this project and Enfoco and the Nuevo Luz Journal, because Enfoco's mission really is to bring under-the-radar photographers into the mainstream. And so I really need to thank the editor, Miriam Ramayas, for greenlighting the project and seeing the importance of the project to talk about these women and showcase the strength and the beauty and, in a lot of cases, the activism in their photographs.
And I think the photographs, I mean, they speak mounds. I think that this whole idea of the Guyanese worldview is just fascinating, given that the vast majority of people of Guyanese descent don't live in Guyana.
Yes, I know. It's an amazing piece of data. And in fact, the numbers I quoted in the piece, which is about, there's about 750,000 people within the country itself. It's a small country, but the numbers, the real numbers, may be more close to 2 million living in the diaspora. And I'm not sure that there's another country that shares that particular statistic, where close to three times as many of the country's people are living outside of the actual country.
And Miriam, talk a bit about the magazine itself and this project.
Sure. So Nueva Luz is really an incredible platform to be able to distribute and disseminate voices like these and so many others, so many untold stories. The magazine started in the mid-80s because photographers of color were having a hard time getting their stories heard in the media and in the arts, and decided, well, if nobody will listen to us, we'll just make our own publication. And and that's pretty much how Nueva Luz started, right? You write your own story in whatever way you can. And, you know, it's been featured, it's been awarded since then. It has been a great path and a great road, you know, because it gets distributed from anywhere between educators that are using this in their classroom to curators in museums that just don't run in these circles, don't know about photographers. You know, certainly when was the last time anybody saw an exhibition or an article about Guyanese women photographers.
I can't remember. I don't recall one.
Exactly.
But I think
there are so many stories like this in the Latino community, too. Nueva Luz is, as far as we know, and we keep asking around because it shouldn't be the only magazine in the country to feature photographers of color. But yes, that's what we keep finding.
And we have to take a very brief break here. We come back. We're going to go right to Keisha Scarville because I really want to explore this Guyanese worldview, mm-hmm. the photographs that are in this exhibit, and what the Guyanese experience says about the world. Because it is where the world has met, whether it's the native culture meeting African culture, meeting Indian culture, meeting European culture, all in one place, and what that has created and what that worldview means. And we'll come right back to all of that. So don't go away. We'll take a short break. We're going to go out with Baby Love by the Supremes because the man who wrote the song himself, this Woo-hoo. Is the day he was born. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're talking about an incredible photographic series in the magazine Nueva Luz. Its founder and editor, Miriam Rosés. Did I say your name correctly, Miriam Rosé?
Romés.
Romés.
R-O-M.
Oh, I have an S on my sheet. I'm sorry, Romés. I apologize.
That's okay.
Keisha Scarfield, one of the photographers, and Grace Aniza Luis. Aniza or Aniza Ali?
Aniza.
Aniza. Sorry, I'm sorry. Grace Aniza Ali, founder and editorial director of Note and the woman who wrote the article around this project as well. And Keisha, let me welcome you to the conversation as well. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
I appreciate you hanging out there with us for this long time, finally getting your voice on the air. But your pieces were kind of – let's just talk about these different pieces. Let me start with you since you're on the phone with us. The pieces that you portrayed of your father's picture as a young man – and then all these superimposed pieces over it were pretty stunning to me. I mean, I just, as both an exploration of your father, who he was, as your daughter, the man who was his immigrant, the whole idea of putting together these black-eyed peas, basmati rice, sugarcane, gold dots, what they say about the entire culture of the world, what it was built on. Talk a bit about that. I mean, I was really very taken with this whole way you put this together.
Sure. Well, you know, it became really important for me, I think, when I was first taking photography seriously, that I could use photography as a way to investigate identity, my own identity and who I am within my family and what that means. I am first generation American, born to Guyanese parents. So growing up, my parents would often send me back to Guyana and to spend my summers there with my family there. So growing up, I often tried to understand what it meant to be American, what it meant to be Guyanese, and as a first-generation American, what it meant to occupy both worlds. Sometimes it felt being in between those worlds. So passport photos became something that intrigued me from an early age. You know, I remember posing for my very first passport photo. And my mom and dad would keep all of our passport photos together in a box inside a drawer. And there was something about those images that intrigued me and what it meant to travel between two homes and what it meant to leave one home and forge a new beginning somewhere else. So with the images of my dad, it was his very first passport photo. He was 16 at the time. And there was something about that image that I felt became a catalyst for me to be able to look at all these different aspects of my own identity and who my dad was and who he is to me today. So in each image, it's, you know, just speaking to what I interpret as being not only a Guyanese American, a daughter to Guyanese parents, for him to come here as, you know, an African Guyanese and what it meant for him to occupy a place here in America. So in each image, I'm speaking to that identity and what that means.
And what struck me about all this, Grace, the entire series of photographs that you put together with all these incredible women, was they stretched across the Guyanese landscape, which has often been a landscape at odds with itself between Indian Guyanese and African Guyanese and the Europeans who kind of also helped create that divide. But
right.
In some ways, in terms of it is the universal story of the diaspora that you're talking about. In some ways, this is like a bridge you're making, a photographic, social, political bridge you're making in this project.
Right. Well, you know, I think these women and the four women that we profile, I should mention, it's Keisha Scarville's beautiful work. It's Nikki Khan, who's actually in your neck of the woods. She shoots for the Washington Post.
Right.
And won a Pulitzer a couple of years ago for her work in Haiti. It's Roshini Kempadu, who is based out of London, and Sandra Brewster, who's based out of Toronto. So it was really important to showcase these four women and their bases in cities that are part of the Guyanese diaspora. So these four cities, New York, Washington, London, and Toronto, are among are the cities where some of the largest populations of Guyanese people do live. So they're really reflective themselves of the diaspora. But what's interesting about their work is their body of work has so much range. I mean, they're very much influenced by their culture, by their roots in Guyana, by their parents' roots in Guyana. But they're also taking their camera and putting that lens, you know, on Chernobyl in Ukraine. Nikki Khan shoots all over the world for the Washington Post. So they're really global in their perspective, but what you see in terms of the connective tissue among all four of them is that Guyana continues to influence them, and there's sort of a sensitivity in their work that, you know, I argue is very Guyanese in its values. And that's what I found really beautiful, that they could have roots in Guyana, but also have this very unique global perspective that's very much influenced by those roots in Guyana.
And what strikes me about this, I'd like you all to comment on this, I mean, for me in reading this article and really spending some time looking at these photographs and thinking about them. If I just took two, I took the ones you did, Keisha, Passport, the ones that were done by Roshini Kempadu called Ghosting, which I the title of that just really grabbed me because it spoke to the voices that are not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think of the note I wrote to myself was, like every colonial power seeks to control remembrance. Is what I thought about looking at some of these. And this, in a way, this photographic journey is taking back that remembrance. And just like people are arguing that 12 Years a Slave is finally seeing African people take control of the narrative of what slavery meant, I see this photograph exhibit, and you can just go down the line, all of you, starting with Grace and to Miriam and Keisha, but I see this kind of photographic essay as taking control of a past that speaks to all of colonialism and imperialism, all of the diaspora, all of what this says to us about who we are as a people, Grace.
Yes, absolutely. And what's even more intriguing is that they embark on that agenda in very personal ways. And so it's looking at, like Keisha is a perfect example of taking something as simple as her father's passport photo and thinking of ways to tell that country's history and politics and politics of identity through something so personal and intimate in her family. And you see Roshini Kempadu doing that. You see Sandra Brewster doing that. So I think they're also making a secondary statement about how the value of our stories and rewriting those historical narratives start really powerfully within our own homes and within our own family stories.
And Miriam, when you look at this as an editor, as a publisher, someone who brings these artists together to create these kind of narratives, talk about your perspective on that.
It's so exciting because for each issue we have an idea of we would love, for example, in this issue we know we want Grace to do a story, and we knew that her passion and her field of study really is the Guyanese diaspora. So we had a feeling of the direction where it was going to go, but then, is it okay if it's all women photographers? And I'm jumping up and down out of excitement because, who else would do this if we don't have this opportunity? So the story certainly gets developed in collaboration by the vision of the writer trying to bring this all together. And every issue is like that in a way. It's varied. When you have somebody who's taking an issue that is so deeply embedded in history, but dealing with it in a fresh or even abstract way, as in some of our other issues, it makes the reader think, and kind of branch out a little bit in the constraints.
No, exactly. Because this piece speaks to me, and Keisha, I'd like you to kind of reflect on that as well. I have to reflect on that as well.
Well, what excited me about being part of this issue was, one of the things that I love about Enfoco and Nueva Luz is the ability to have our voices be heard through these pages. As I was learning photography, and there were very few places where I could see images made by people of color, and I think Grace spoke to it beautifully as well. As an image maker, there is a sense of ownership, and just speaking to the effects of colonialism when the images aren't made by us. there is a lot of politics that are involved in how those images are constructed and the influence that those images have on our society. So as an image maker and a person of color, and just speaking to, these movies that are coming out, Mother of George by Andrew Dosimu, 12 Years of Slave by Steve McQueen, there are voices, the people of color who are image makers that are taking ownership and inscribing our own identity. And I think that's such an important aspect of this particular issue, but all the issues of Nueva Luz, where you see people of the diaspora, people throughout the Caribbean and Latin America interpreting their own experiences.
And for me, what this also said I was reading this again last night before we went into the theater. I was rereading the article and looking at the photos again and thinking about how what you did here is taking this Guyanese view of the world that really talks about, I said it a little earlier, but the what colonialism, what imperialism, what this world has wrought, and finally getting places where artists can speak to that from communities of color that we don't hear. That's what really kind of overwhelmed me about this piece, and made me really think about what the world is missing, not having that presence and power in front of us all the time. Do you know, I think that's why I like this magazine so much. I didn't see it, Grace, before. I didn't even know about this magazine, Grace, until you got in touch with me by email.
That's awesome. Now it can be your favorite, Mark.
That's right.
Amen to that.
And you'll never go back.
And, you know, I really want to just take 30 seconds to emphasize the role of Infoco in publishing Nuevo Luz.
Yes,
I mean,
please.
Their work has been tremendous. And I've written for Nuevo Luz before and worked with Miriam. And what they do, I mean, they have a roster of services for photographers and emerging photographers outside of this amazing publication. And maybe Miriam can speak to the work of Infoco itself, the nonprofit organization. But it really is an incredible platform. And so I think Miriam's in trouble. I think, you know, Cambodian photographers are going to see this issue and say, we want a whole issue on Cambodian photographers. And I think I caused trouble for her.
Well, I think I have sent you some stuff. I think I have a Kiowa photographer who will blow you away.
Wonderful. That would be great. You know, Grace, and that's a fantastic problem to have, really, because there are really so many photographers out there that just are not, are lacking the platform. And what Infoco does is exactly that. Whether it's an emerging photographer just starting out and figuring out how to navigate the language of you know, world media and what the mainstream media brings, and the art world, or established artists. We were some of the first folks to, or actually we were the first folks to publish Kenru Izu. Early on, we published Carrie Mae Weems, Dawood Bey, you know, who are now worldwide sensations in their fields, you know, tackling issues, dealing with what's real. So it's very powerful, I think.
So let me close this particular statement, that we can come back to this in weeks to come, because I really want to explore things in greater depth and with all of you. And you close this article, Grace, with somebody I think that many Americans don't know. But I think I thought about his name even before reading this piece and looking at the pictures, even before I read what you wrote at the very end of your piece. And that's Walter Rodney, who was kind of one of the great revolutionary radical scholars, thinkers, who was assassinated when he came back to Guyana. And you kind of see in some ways the embodiment of his soul and work in the work you're doing,
yes.
In this work.
Yes. Well, I'll read the quote. I'll read what I wrote, because I think it's, you know, it speaks to why I really wanted to connect these four women and what they were doing through the vehicle of photography with the work and the activism and the voice of Walter Rodney. And what I said was, we should look to these women the way we continue to look to the work and wisdom a prominent Guyanese historian, political activist, and scholar, Walter Rodney, who during the course of his life's work to champion the working class, challenged us to always keep searching for new answers to old questions. And that's essentially what I think these women are doing and continue to do.
Well, I'm very tired. I wish this was an exhibit we could bring to Baltimore and just show it.
Hey, well, that might be in the work.
if I may, for
Miriam,
those of you that are listening to the show, we can offer a digital download of the magazine. So in a way, you could have your own personal exhibition of the work, if you would so like.
Well, that's why I first saw this, when Grace sent me the digital download. So, and I want to thank all three. I want to thank you for this work, Grace, and bring this to the people. I want folks to really take advantage and go to Nuevo Luz and see this see this online, get a sense of this magazine, what it is, and what Miriam Romay is doing, who also is a photographer in her own right and director of Enfoco, as we talked about earlier, and Grace Aniza Ali, who's been with us here, wrote the article, founder and director of Note, one of the first online magazines about global artistry. She's a professor of literature at CUNY in New York, a Fulbright scholar, hosts visually speaking series at Schomburg, and Keisha Scarville, whose incredible work is in this exhibit, photographer and educator. Thank the three of you so much. And if you very quickly want to give a website email contact, please do. Miriam?
Great. Yeah. Enfoco.org. E-N as in Nancy, F as in Frank, O-C-O.org. And the website is fairly thorough. And the Nueva Luz will be on there.
And we will have – all this will be on our website, stanishow.org. Did you want to say something, Grace, as we go out about a place to go to on the web?
Yeah, I actually wanted to share that Keisha Scarville is in a show here in New York. So, you know, your listeners, if they're in New York, they can go see her. She's at Brick Arts, B-R-I-C. And please Google these photographers, Nikki Khan, who's in Washington, D.C. She often exhibits Roshini Kempadu and Sandra Brewster. It's worth it to see these women's work in person.
Thank all three of you so much. Look forward to continuing this conversation.
Likewise. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're going to take a brief break. And when we come back from this brief break, we are joined by Baynard Woods, senior editor of the City Paper. What's happening in this issue? We're going to find out.